magnified our Savior. All the songs and the poems and the reading. And I want to continue that theme. If you want to turn with me over to Matthew chapter 1, we'll continue that same theme just for a moment. If you want to follow me in my text, in Matthew chapter 1, and let me begin reading in verse 18. If you don't have a Bible, you'll find the Pew Bible. And when I'm finished, I want us to give a round of applause to all of our young people. But notice in this text, in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, being interpreted God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she brought forth her firstborn son, and called his name Jesus. The birth of Jesus Christ. I tell you, humanity, all of humanity, should lift its voice in one united praise and thanksgiving to God, that he's given us a book to instruct us and explain to us everything that we need to know to be saved. If you ask us this morning why we believe what we do about God, the Bible has instructed us what to believe. If you ask us why we believe that God is a sovereign God, that he rules in the heavens and he rules in this earth, that he rules over all the providence of this world. He plants his footsteps in the sea and he rides upon the storm. We tell you that we believe this because the Word of God instructs us to believe. Daniel says that he doeth according to his will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And no man can stay his hand or say unto him, What doest thou? And if someone would want to know this morning why we believe what we do concerning the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, why we believe about his virgin birth, his perfect life, his ministry, his death upon the cross, his resurrection, his ascension to glory, all that he accomplished in this, we believe this because we're instructed to believe it by the Word of God. Matthew tells us here in verse 18, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. And then he explains how the Son of God was born. What's the first thing that we find out here about the birth of Jesus Christ? The first thing is this. In a true sense of the word, it was so natural. What a natural birth it was, because we're told here his mother, Mary. He had a mother. Mary was the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you and I aren't Catholic. We're Protestant. But the Catholic have bestowed a great deal of honor upon Mary. And really, they've carried it to the extremes, haven't they? They've made her out to have merit enough to save sinners. We don't believe that. We don't believe that she's a co-mediator with Jesus Christ. There's one mediator between God and man. We don't pray to Mary, do we? But you know, having said all of that, we do honor the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's what the angel Gabriel said to her and of her when he came and first appeared to her. He said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee." Highly favored. For centuries in the Old Testament, the Jewish maidens wanted to bring forth the Christ child. They all wanted children because they all wanted to be the bearer of the Son of God to save a lost humanity. But you know something? The Lord passed by all of them, and He set His choice upon Mary. She was highly favored of God. And how did Elizabeth, her cousin, address her when Mary was great with child and went to visit Elizabeth? Here's what Elizabeth said. "Blessed art thou among women." Most happy among women. And she was. There in Luke chapter 2, Mary went on praising the Lord. And this is what she said. "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For He hath regarded the low estate of His handmaid. Behold, from henceforth, all generations shall call me blessed." And that's what we say of Mary this morning. She was the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. She was a blessed, blessed woman. She has nothing to do with my salvation. She has nothing to do with your personal salvation. But she had a lot to do with the birth of our Savior. She was His mother. She was told of the angel Gabriel, "Thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son." And we're told that Christ was made of a woman. Made of a woman. That is, Mary nourished Him in her womb. She fed Him, and she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped Him in swaddling clothes, and laid Him in a manger. On the way to church this morning, we saw a live nativity scene. I'm not critical of those nativity scenes. I know some are somewhat crude and silly. But what do they remind us of? When we see a nativity scene, we see the little infant laying in his mother Mary's arms. Or we see him laying in a cradle. And what does that remind us of? It reminds us of the most natural thing in this world, that a woman had a son. She bore a child. So natural, isn't it? In one sense of the word, the birth of Jesus Christ is so natural. Yet there's something here that's not natural, isn't it? Look back at my text again in verse 18. "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together," look at this, "she was found with child of the Holy Ghost." Now that's not natural, is it? That's supernatural. She was a virgin that had never known a man. And she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now, this is why we don't go outside the Bible to get proof that the Bible is true. If you went to medical science, go to your doctor sometime, and you ask him if this is medically possible. And you know what he's going to tell you? That cannot be. And he's telling you the truth. Even Mary looked upon this as a mystery. When the angel announced the birth of Jesus Christ, she said, "How can this be, seeing I know not a man?" And what did the angel tell her? "You shall conceive in your womb by the Holy Ghost, and you shall bring forth a son. The power of the highest shall come upon you. The Holy Ghost shall overshadow you. Also that holy thing which shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God." And then the angel made this wonderful statement, "For with God, nothing is impossible." All things are possible. So see, this is a miraculous birth, because she was a virgin conceived in her womb by the Holy Ghost. And notice these two things about the birth of Christ. He was the son of Mary, for it was Mary's firstborn. Mary's was his mother. And yet he was called the Son of God. See the two wonderful natures in this one man? He was the son of Mary, so he was a man. He had a real human body. He had a real human soul because he was Mary's son. He was as much human as his mother, except sin. He had no sin. And yet at the same time, he was the eternal Son of God. As Mary's son, he had a beginning in her womb. But as the Son of God, he had no beginning. He was from everlasting to everlasting. And here's the way Isaiah tells us. Unto us a child is born. That's Mary's son. But unto us a son is given. Mary's child was born. The Son of God was given. Can anybody quote John 3:16? Can anybody quote that? I bet all of us in here, almost every adult, can quote, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." That's what Isaiah said. A child is born. And he's truly man, 100% man. But a son is given, given from heaven of God, given in Mary's womb, given to dwell among us, and finally, given upon the cross to die for the sins of all his people. Why are these two things necessary? Why is it necessary that Christ be born of a woman? Well, for this reason, the Bible is very clear on this, that by one man, sin entered into this world. And by sin came condemnation, it came guilt and death. And by one man, sin must be put away. Sin entered by the first Adam. Man had to come and put sin away. Paul tells us this. By one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men. And John the Baptist looked upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." See, God is a just God. And it's man who sinned against God. It must be another man to put that sin away. Jesus Christ, to represent us, he must be a man. Therefore, he must be born of Mary. Paul said, since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. We died in one man. We live in another man. The first Adam brought us sin and death. The second Adam brings us righteousness and life. Isn't that wonderful? That's what our children were singing about this morning when they were talking about this God-man. He's man. But notice this. Not only must he be a man, 100% man, but he had to be more than man. He couldn't be born like you and I are born. He couldn't have an earthly father. He had an earthly mother. But who was his father? God was his father. He was conceived by the Spirit of God, the third person of the sacred Trinity. Why was that necessary? Why couldn't he have been born just like you or born like me? Why couldn't he have an earthly father as well as an earthly mother? Well, here's the problem with having an earthly father, isn't it? Our father is sinful, you see. David said it like this about himself. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. David wasn't that illegitimate son. His father was named Jesse. He had many brothers and sisters. But David is saying, I was born in sin because of my first father Adam. And he went on to make this statement. He said, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born. That's our problem, isn't it? Isn't it strange that we never see a baby grow up and he's not a sinner? When little babies come into this world, we love them. We cherish them. Ashley's ready to have a baby, and I'm sure it'll be so beautiful, and they'll love it to death. But you know what it'll be when it comes from Ashley's womb? Just what you were and just what I am. A poor sinner by nature. That's why Jesus Christ could not be born with an earthly father. He would have been born a sinner just like you and just like me. So he was kept from this sinful nature. The Holy Spirit moved upon Mary. He was conceived in her womb, but he was holy. He was born without sin, and he lived without sin. Being a holy man, he could honor God, he could keep all the commandments of God, and he could die upon the cross and redeem us from our sins and make atonement for sins, because he's not just a man, he's the God-man. The birth of Jesus Christ. Spurgeon was telling a story about a controversy Great Britain had with Wales. And it was a controversy that was ready to lead to war. They were at enmity one with another. Until the Prince of Wales married the Princess of Great Britain and had a child. And both countries claimed the child. And in that child, both countries were reconciled. The war had ended. What am I saying? God and man was at war one with another. How could this war end? How could reconciliation be made? Jesus Christ, who is from heaven, was born into this earth. This world is his nativity. And as man, he can reach and get a hold of you and me. And as the Son of God, he can reach and get a hold of God and bring us together and reconcile us. In the Son of God, heaven and earth is reconciled. Peace has been made in this wonderful man, Jesus Christ the Lord. He's made peace through the blood of his cross. Oh, believe it this morning. Believe it this morning in your heart of hearts and rejoice in the truth of it. God can now come to us and be a father to us. And we can go to God and address Him as our Father because the Son of God, who is from heaven, was born here in our world. Wonderful, wonderful thought. I think we get just a little taste of heaven and earth reconciled here in verse 20 of my text. Did you notice this? You'll notice this all the way through the gospel. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream and spoke with him. The angel didn't appear to threaten him, but to give him advice. And you find the angel appearing to Mary and announcing the birth of the Lord Jesus. You find the great heavenly host on the hillsides of Judea appearing to those shepherds, announcing the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what did the angels always say? Fear not. Fear not. Why aren't the angels threatening anymore? Why do they come to these saints and say, fear not, I bring you good tidings of great joy? Because in Jesus Christ, there are now ministering spirits. They're not sent to destroy us. They're sent to bring us this blessed message that in Christ, heaven and earth are become one. One. They're all ministering spirits. And let me close with this. Isn't Jesus Christ just the Savior that we poor sinners need? Don't you feel this morning, hearing about Him, that you can approach unto Him? Have you ever heard of any man that is so exalted? Even when the angel announced His birth, here's what the angel said about Him. He shall be great. He's great. He's the Son of the Highest. God has given to Him the throne. Who is on the throne this morning? Jesus Christ is ruling in heaven and in this earth and in all nature. He's on the throne of David. He's a mighty king. He's King Jesus. And yet being so high and so sovereign, He stoops, He bows, He condescends to you and He condescends to me. And He even gives us this wonderful invitation. Come unto me. All you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in my heart. You know we don't find many mighty people that's meek and lowly, do we? They're usually proud. You can't approach them to earthly kings. They're too mighty. They're too standoffish. But oh, here's the mighty one, the eternal Son of God. And He's so meek and so lowly, He invites the most vile, the worst of sinners, come to me and I'll give you rest. Is your heart burdened with sin? Is your conscience guilty and you're weary of carrying the load? Here's somebody that can give you rest. He's able to because He's the mighty God. He's willing to be approached unto because He's man, Christ Jesus. If He was willing to be barned in a stable, and they tell us those stables usually were hewn out of a cliff, or they were a cave. If He was willing to be barned in a stable, will He not abide in our poor, rocky hearts? If He, being rich, became poor, will He despise those who are poor in spirit? Never, never. The little poem the girls read, Friend of the Friendless, Betrayed and Denied. Friend of the Friendless. You feel like you have no friend? You feel like you've been denied by this world? Here is a friend. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He knows what it is to be lonely. He said, all of you shall forsake me and leave me alone. He looked for some help, but He found none. He looked for somebody to take pity, but there was none. He knows what it is to be forsaken and denied of his friends. And yet David knew this. David said, if my father or mother forsake me, the Lord shall take me up. You need a friend? Oh, here's a true friend. Here's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Help of the weak, the poem said, for in Gethsemane he cried. Oh, how weak he was in that garden. He sweat drops of blood. Light of the world, in gross darkness he died. Jesus, wonderful Lord. Barned among cattle, in poverty sore, living in meekness by Galilee's shore, dying in shame, as the wicked one swore, Jesus, wonderful Lord. Weary, yet He is the world's only rest. Hungry and thirsty with plenty, He has blessed. Tempted, He promises grace for each test. Jesus, wonderful Savior. Wonderful, wonderful Jesus, He is my friend true to the end. He gave himself to redeem me. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Wonderful Savior. May God bless his word. Let's pray.